Welcome to Ignite. I'm your host, Vicki Hamilton. This is a show where we equip leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals with strategies to overcome challenges and accelerate their growth, both in business and in life. Today, we're tackling a subject that's deeply personal, yet incredibly common: divorce. For many, divorce shakes the foundation of who they are. It feels like everything they've built at home and in their career is crumbling, leaving them wondering who they are without a relationship. I am so excited to have joining me Deonne High Easton, a licensed attorney in both Texas and Massachusetts, specializing in estate planning, probate, guardianship, trust administration, and business law. With her background in social work, Deonne presents a compassionate, client-centered approach to some of life's toughest moments. She helps families navigate legal transitions with clarity and care, ensuring they don't lose themselves in this process. And Deonne, I just want to thank you for being here and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Divorce impacts more than just the home. It shakes the identity, finances, and leadership roles. For entrepreneurs, the lines between personal and professional lives, they blur, making the process even heavier. So Deonne, I would love to get your perspective. Mm-hmm. On why does divorce feel so overwhelming for leaders and entrepreneurs especially?
Well, I have to say I did practice in family law for a very long time. So I still do a little bit here and there, but I will tell you this, that it's such a huge impact for people because when you get divorced, everything that you've worked hard for is now having to be divided, right? You're going to lose a sense of all of your hard work, all of your assets. You know, your family's getting split apart. If you have children, that impact is going to be terrible because you're no longer able to be with your kids on a regular basis because now we have to come up with a parenting schedule and what that looks like. And then when you are a business owner, you own a business. And if you've built that business from the ground up, that in turn can be your own version of a child, right? Because you have put in the work, you've put in the time, you've put in the energy. And, you know, if the value of that business is worth a lot and now you have to split it with your spouse who may or may not have been involved in the business itself, then you're in a really, really, really tough situation. And so having to deal with that, the breakup of your family, having to deal with the division of your business, the division of all of your assets, it creates a huge impact on people when they're having to go through divorce.
Wow. Well, you know, I've been divorced, so I've been through that. I completely understand. And you are absolutely right. It can be extremely overwhelming. Yep. As you go through that process. Yep. How can someone protect their sense of self while walking through a divorce?
That is a very hard question for me to answer because it's going to look different for different people, right? I think the main thing that you have to remember is the why you're getting divorced, but don't let the emotions that you might be feeling amongst the divorce kind of dictate how the divorce goes, because that's when divorce can end up taking a very long time. You can end up spending a lot more in litigation because you're fighting through, okay, I want this, I want this. You could be having petty emotions. I mean, it doesn't matter. It could be literally anything, but you have to kind of think about the bigger picture of, okay, I'm in this because I'm getting divorced. I need to get through this. What are the methodical steps that I need to go through to get through it? And I think if people think about the process more so than the emotions behind it, it will help them through the divorce. But obviously, like I said, a divorce is going to look different for different people because the nature of us all being different is that we are all different, right? I always used to say that the only thing that's constant in this life is change, and the same thing with people, right? Every single person is different. So you have to basically Make sure that you find an attorney that's going to listen to you as you're going through the divorce, but stay focused on the process and the reason why you're getting divorced, and you'll be able to get through it a lot more smoothly. I'm not going to say you're going to be happy, but it'll be a smoother transition for you.
And it's so easy said, but I'm gonna tell you, trying to separate those emotions when you're going through, wait a minute, I worked so hard for this. Oh my gosh, I did this. And having to think about, to your point, of what all that division means and the impact, it is just tough. It's just tough.
It is tough. And the nature of divorce, unfortunately, is emotions, right? Because you've built something for so long, and now you're going to basically have to cut a piece of the pie and give it to somebody who's either worked with you during that process to build the life that you guys have, or you ended up building it on your own with the support of said partner, but you still have to divide the assets and divide, your family.
And that's a good lead in to what do you think are some of the practical steps that people can take to stay grounded emotionally when everything feels unstable? Practically, just practical steps they can use.
Biggest thing I tell people is to breathe. That sounds really crazy to even say, but a lot of times when people are going through this, they're holding their breath because they're thinking about the worst possibilities and the worst consequences and the worst case scenarios of a situation when it involves divorce. But sometimes you have to breathe through it. You have to listen to your attorney. I think that's the only way that you can also stay grounded, because emotionally you're feeling something very different, but your attorney is there to help guide you through the steps of the divorce to get you through it. And I think a lot of times when people are dealing with those emotions, they have a hard time kind of seeing what's next in the step. And that's where the attorney comes in to say, okay, well, listen, we got through this part. Now we need to get through this part. So trying to stay grounded is listening to your attorney, breathing through it, and then thinking about the bigger picture. Sometimes they say, like, people hate shots, right? But the faster you get through the shot, the faster it's over and done with, right? So it's a weird way of kind of thinking about the concept, but I think the important thing is to remember the why and think about the steps, 'cause if you think about the steps involved, then you will be kind of it'll be a smoother transition for you. 'Cause I mean, I always tell my clients, you're never going to be happy. You're just going to have to basically pick decisions that you can live with, right? And so when you think about the decisions that you can live with, by thinking about this the next steps, it'll help you kind of move through the process, and sooner or later you'll realize that you're kind of already out, and you don't have to worry about all the extra stuff, because you know exactly what to expect. And I think clarity and communication are very big key factors that attorneys need to have with their clients when people are going through a divorce.
Great, great insights. Can you share a story of a client who came out stronger on the other side?
I most certainly can, and she and I have become very close after this whole experience for her. But she was married for a very, very, very long time. They had built an incredible life together, and she ended up getting sick with cancer. And at that point, when people get sick, you see kind of how they're willing to move, and he wasn't as supportive of her, and she decided that she was going to get a divorce. And it was probably the most excruciating process for her, because emotionally, she's built this life with someone for years upon years. They thought they were going to grow old together. And then to get sick and then have to think about, do I divorce my spouse, is already hard in and of itself. And so she was so incredibly patient, because there was a huge struggle. It took a lot longer than we both expected. We ended up going into mediation, and she ended up settling for the divorce, so she didn't have to go through a whole trial. But even getting her spouse to the table was excruciating for about a year and a half, when it was supposed to be only a couple of months. And so the amount of faith she had, the amount of patience that she had, and her thinking about the bigger picture, she wasn't able to lose sight of what she needed to do. And so that helped keep her grounded, and she successfully was able to get divorced. And now, even though they had to split up all of their assets, now she just recently bought her first house on her own. And I'm just incredibly, incredibly proud of her. So that's something that's happened relatively recently. But a lot of people, even though they can go through a divorce, you can come out on the other side and still feel like you're winning in some sense. You might not, in what may, the happiness might not look the same, but it's definitely going to be a different version of yourself that you would be willing and happy to see.
Wow, congratulations to her and congratulations to you for helping her.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
What's one small daily practice that helps people rebuild their confidence during a divorce?
That's also a hard question to ask, but I'm going to try to answer it as best as I can. I think one small step that people can do, like I said, is to think about the bigger picture and to be able to live with the consequences of the decisions. You're not going to be happy. You're never going to be happy in a divorce because you're splitting up all of your assets. You're splitting up your family. But you have to remember, what is something that I can truly live with? And I think that is the answer that a lot of people are able to get past. And if they can't get past it, okay, great. Let's go to court. Let's have a trial and we'll have the judge decide what they believe is in the best interest of your children, right? And how we're going to divide up all of your assets and your property. So thinking about, okay, I can get through this. What is this going to look like? What are the steps? Am I listening to my attorney? Am I communicating what my ideas are? And I think once you're able to get through that, you will have an easier transition to walk through a divorce. But again, like I said, you're not going to be happy because your family is being broken up. Your businesses are going to have to be divided, and things are just going to look a lot different than what you're used to because now you're walking in a different phase of life.
You're absolutely right. And it's one of those things that, trying to rebuild that confidence day by day, even after it's over, right? It's like I may have to start over. I may have to start things a little differently, do things a little differently. So it is a process. And I think the nuggets that you're giving the audience to be able to take this process and really understand are invaluable.
Oh, thank you.
We'll be right back. And up next, we're going to explore how to protect your children during custody battles without letting conflict take the front seat. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. You want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Ignite and every Now Media TV favorite, whether it's live or on demand. Anytime you like, you can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS. Unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. And those of you that are on the move, don't worry, we got you covered. You can also catch the podcast version right from our website on www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. I am here with Deanna High Easton, and now we're diving into one of the most sensitive and emotional parts of family law, custody battles. For parents, nothing matters more than their children. But too often, kids are caught in the middle of a conflict. Custody decisions bring emotions to the surface, and children often carry the heaviest weight. Parents can protect their kids when they learn to separate emotions from parenting choices. So, Deonay, let me ask you a question. What are some mistakes parents make when custody is being decided?
Ooh, this is a really tough topic for me. I have some personal experience with it. The biggest mistake that I think a lot of parents make is that they are very selfish with their own intentions. What I mean by that is they're not thinking about the best interests of the children. They're thinking about how they feel with having the parent have the ability to have more time with the child. We're not thinking about that. I mean, at the end of the day, a child has two parents, and if two parents are involved in the child's life when the child is born, then that's something that needs to be considered and it needs to be respected, right? When it comes to parenting. And I think a lot of parents, they think about their own selfish needs, and that sounds a little harsh for me to say, but I'm kind of a no nonsense, I don't tolerate type of stuff mentality because we have to be real about this stuff, right? Children deserve to have both parents in their lives if the parent is in the child's life. And so they are entitled to having a parenting schedule that allows them to have time with the child. And I think a lot of times parents, when they're going through custody battles, they lose sight of that. They lose sight that both parents still need to be involved in their children's lives, and they can't just keep the child for themselves at all time. It just doesn't work like that, and it doesn't help the child in the long run because, you know, if you were in a family and you're going through a custody battle, both parents were there if that's the situation, if that's the dynamic of the custody battle, and if a child's been in a one parent's home the entire time, but they're still having time with their other parent, then that still needs to be considered. And if the parent hasn't been in the child's life at all, then we're discussing termination and adoption, right? Or just termination of parental rights in general. So, I mean, there's different levels to it, but I think sometimes parents lose sight of the why, and they lose sight of, okay, I'm in my emotions, so I'm going to fight this custody battle because this is how I feel about it, but they're not considering what their children are feeling. And I think if parents are willing and wanting to think about the best interests of the child, which is the standard that we use in court, that the judge uses to make custody decisions, then a lot of parents will get a lot further when it comes to custody disagreements and legal custody issues.
Well, let me ask you, how do you do that? I mean, as a parent, I mean, you do want the children's best interest, you know, when you're getting ready to move forward. Yes, your emotions are running high, and I agree that sometimes it's, wow, I'm thinking more about me and not seeing my baby versus that my baby needs to see, you know, daddy too. But how do you do that?
It's really hard to, right? Which is why a lot of us family lawyers are in business. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, like when it comes to children, that is your, it's your child. It's your heart on in a different person. It's you live, eat, breathe, sleep to be able to provide for your child. So it is very hard for parents to deal with their emotions in that capacity. And I think this is why a lot of family attorneys, we call ourselves counselors, because we have to counsel our clients just as much as we're fighting and advocating for them in court. But I mean, there's laws that are in place that are best interest factors that the judge will take a look at to figure out what the best interest is of the child. But emotionally speaking, you're never really going to be able to get past it. It's just thinking about the bigger picture and what the child could potentially feel. And I feel like if people focus on what the outcome could be for their child, they might be able to get through a lot of the emotions. But sometimes, let's talk about the other side of it. Parents will say, well, I am doing this to protect my child because I believe that my child is not going to be in a good environment. Okay, well, let's take a look at that, right? What are ways that we can ensure that your child can still be protected, but you're still putting your child in a safe environment? And I think that's having the right attorney to have those conversations with you to discuss what's in not just in your best interest, but what's in the best interest of your children, and having the attorney advocate for that in court and or advocating for that in mediation. I think that's the key to being able to have and kind of, I don't want to say control the emotions, but kind of subdue them just a little bit, because as long as parents feel heard, they're going to be willing to figure out what all the options are. And I think it's important that you find an attorney that is willing to listen to what you have to say to advocate for you for all of the options, so that way you can make an informed decision about what's in the best interest of your children.
Wow, that's such great insight and wisdom. Can you share how leaders can model strength and calmness for their kids during this time?
Yes, yeah, so I think, you know, communication. I think when a lot of people are not willing to communicate what their concerns are, or communicate what their strengths are, or communicate, you know, what they think is going to be in the best interest of the children, a lot of times it can get lost in a custody battle, regardless, because you're so focused on thinking about your emotions. But if you have the conversations with your attorney, then your attorney can really take that and be able to build upon that for you to advocate for you in court, or even advocate for you in mediation. And so I think communication is key. I think thinking about the bigger picture, okay, listen, even though I have my own emotions about this, my child's parent, they could be trifling, they could be great, they could be unsafe. What can I do to protect my child? That's a very pragmatic approach. And I think being as pragmatic as possible, even though it's kind of an oxymoron when you're talking about children, because that's the emotional side, right? But an attorney will help you see the pragmatic options and be able to propel you through it, and instead of being kind of stuck in the emotions that you have. And Custody battles are the definition of emotional. I mean, when it comes to divorce and it comes to custody over your children and division over businesses and real property are the two main issues that a lot of people struggle with, but children is the highest because it's your heart on a different person, and you want to keep them safe and keep them protected as much as possible. So thinking about, okay, I might be emotional because I'm going to be in a situation where I am not going to be with my kids 24/7. And that, having that realization and thinking about that early is really going to help people to be able to get through it, because sometimes they're so stuck on, I need my child to be with me 24/7. But if you are no longer going to be in the same household with somebody else, that's a new reality that you have to kind of start thinking about early to be able to help you through a custody battle.
Wow. Whew. Yes. We think about supporting our kids and really understanding what it means and the parenting decisions that we're going to make. And yes, we're going through feelings. But what are some of the things that legally they look at that cause us that we should think about to help us reframe and relook at those feelings so we are making the best decision as a parent?
Yeah, so I think, and I don't have the running list in front of me, but the default law, I mean, the best interest factor, best interest standard is kind of the key when it comes to custody decisions, right? So what type of environment is your child in? What does their school environment look like? What is the age of the child? Are they in unsafe conditions? Are they in safe conditions? I mean, those are just like some off the top of my head, but it's thinking about the pragmatic, okay, these are the best interest factors. And when we take a look at this as a whole, okay, if the child is going to be in a different home environment, are they going to be safe? Are they still going to stay in the school that they've been in before we get divorced? Or if we're not getting divorced, if we're just fighting over custody, are they going to stay in the same school? Do I want someone to move to a different geographic place, or do I want to restrict where they're able to move from? And there's, when it comes to visitation, there's 100 miles versus less than 100 miles. I mean, do you want you having to travel 100 miles or more to go visit your child for a weekend? I mean, it's just those types of considerations are something to really talk about in the very beginning to help you think and consider what you're looking to do in the long term. Because obviously, we have something that's known as a docket control order in these courts, which is essentially saying, okay, once you file suit, the judge is going to issue an order where we have, scheduling deadlines to be able to do what we need to do to get you through the case. And so, if you have an attorney who's willing to have that conversation with you the moment you walk through the door and have a consultation, it'll help you to at least think about, okay, these are the factors that are involved. Can I meet these factors? Do I want to fight against these factors with the other party? And it will help to, with you with the emotions that you're feeling because you're thinking about the law itself and how you can get through the custody case.
Wow. Well, I tell you, Dionne, you viewers, I know they want to find you and they want to know more about you because this content is invaluable. Where can they learn more about you and connect with your work and find you online?
Well, they can visit my website at higheastonlaw.com. They can give me a call at my office at 281-895-1721, and they can find me on social media under High Easton Law. I'm pretty much everywhere. My name is super unique. You can't not find me if you're looking for me, okay?
It may be unique, but it's beautiful. It is
Thank
a
you.
beautiful name. We'll be right back. Coming up, we're going to talk about how to avoid the costly mistakes that too many people make in divorce and custody cases. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. In this segment, we're shining a light on some of the most common and costly mistakes people make during divorce and custody cases. When emotions are running high, it's easy to make decisions that feel right in the moment, but can really hurt you in the long run. By slowing down, seeking clarity, and approaching decisions with strategy instead of emotions, Families can avoid mistakes that cost them financially, emotionally, and legally. So, DNA, what is the most common mistakes people make in divorce or custody cases?
I mean, we've kind of spoke on this a lot, but I think when people start to be selfish with their time with the children, it can cost a lot of money, right? I think being prepared that your family structure is just going to look different if you're going through a custody battle is the first step that you can make in avoiding having to pay a lot of money for legal fees. The reason I say that is because when you are tied up with your emotions and you're fighting a custody battle or you're fighting a divorce with your emotions, it's going to cost you. I always tell my clients, the more, the more we speak, the more it costs. The more we fight, the more it costs, right? I mean, you are having to pay legal fees to divide up all of your assets and having to pay legal fees, if you don't represent yourself, to be able to find a custody arrangement for your children. If you keep your emotions involved in the process, which I obviously understand we're all human, that's the nature of how we move. But if you lead with your emotions in a divorce or a custody battle, it is going to cost you thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I try to tell people, listen, you have the right to feel how you need to feel. If you need to yell in my presence, that's fine. If you need to cry around me and you want me to hold your hand, that's totally fine. But we cannot make legal decisions based on your emotional state because it's just going to get you into further trouble. And so my goal as an attorney is to make sure that we can get you through the process so that way you can come out on the other side and start to rebuild, whether that's your life, rebuild your business, rebuild with new property, rebuild your family structure, be there for your children. That is the goal.
Yeah, and there's so many pieces to that dynamic of what you just said. And it's true that as the dollars start to ring up, by the time you pay for everything, then what you get, you end up with a net of zero, right?
Exactly.
Got to think about, that implication too, because it costs to get you there. You may have gotten what you wanted. But in the end, when you look at the end results, like, oh my gosh, where did my money go? Where did this go? Where did that go? And it's like, well, it costs a lot of money to get what you wanted. So, sometimes it's about also thinking about the end result financially. That is like, as you talked about, it could cost so much money. Am I really going to get the value at the end of the day for what I'm actually fighting for? Or am I being selfish? Am I just thinking about this unrealistically because I am thinking about my own choices? And I don't know if you've run into that a lot or not.
I have. And I'm going to be real no matter what, right? So I can say you can pay me more legal fees, but if what you're fighting for is going to cost you just as much to pay me in legal fees, what's the point, right? You're trying to be able to survive and live off of whatever you're dividing up. And every state is different, right? I'm licensed in both Texas and Massachusetts. So the law is completely different with family law. Texas is a community property state, which basically means that everything is kind of seen in like this whole pie, right? And we're going to divide up what's within the pie versus Massachusetts, where, if you have your name on the title, you can try to make an argument that it's separate property so that you don't have to divide up said assets. So there's different laws in different states. And this is why an attorney is great to be able to help you figure out what options you have in a divorce. But if you are going to be fighting over something and it can cost more in legal fees to be able to fight for that very thing that you're trying to hold on to, I mean, it's just safer and better to say, okay, well, let's look at the big picture and what do you want to do? Because ultimately, the attorney is going to follow what their client wants to do, right? As long as it's legal and within the bounds of the law. But by doing it this way, you have all the options, because I love telling my clients that you have the right to make an informed decision about your life, especially because when you're going through a divorce, when you're going through custody, you feel like you have no decision-making power at all, because the reason you're there is you might not even want to be there, right? Or maybe you do want to get divorced and you're like, I'm tired of being in this financially tied situation with my partner and I want out. That's okay. But you have to be able to think about the big picture and be with an attorney who's going to guide you through that process and making sure that you can get through it as I don't want to say swift because sometimes divorces don't happen very quickly, but as smooth, and I say that with air quotes, as possible.
Well, you know, but you've mentioned this a number of times, and I would love to give the audience just a little bit of insight. And as you talk about, every state is different and the laws are different, but it's all about getting that attorney. You know, I think part of the challenges can be even when you're getting an attorney and you're really dealing with custody battles and you're dealing with some of these high emotional issues. How do you really decipher the right attorney? What is it that, you know, you always want the best that's going to represent me the best, but how do you know? How do you make sure that that's there so that you are not going to be a person who tries and they're not supportive or they're, you know, they're not giving you the ins and outs? You know, I love the fact that you said, I'm real. I'm real. I'm going to tell you what's real. You know, and I think that's so important. I mean, we laugh about it, but it's true.
It
If
is.
you're going to be real with me, you're going to tell me what the real issues are. You're not going to let me go and make these setbacks for myself and not be able to move forward. But it's always, you know, a hard thing when you're going to search for that attorney.
It is. It is. And I think I always encourage people if they're coming to my office, I mean, you should speak to a couple of attorneys. I don't think it, some people are going to say, I'll come to one attorney and be like, yes, I like every single thing you're saying. I like the vibe. I like how you're able to communicate. I like what you've had to say. And that's amazing. But I always encourage my clients, or at least my prospective clients, if they're coming to me, make sure that you feel comfortable with me. I don't want you to, give me money if there's an opportunity where you think that someone might be better suited for you to advocate on your behalf. So if you are able to find resources to seek out an attorney, that's number one, right? I always encourage people to go to the state bar and see if you can find a list of names of people that are in a certain kind of practice area and speak with them. Speak with a couple of people. And if you like and you feel connected with that person, then go for it. But, I pride myself on being very, I communicate, at least I try to communicate as much as I can. Obviously, when you have multiple clients, you might not be able to do it right away, but trying to communicate with my clients, trying to be real about the issues, trying to talk them through. Some attorneys are no nonsense. They're like, I'm not going to take what you have to say, but I'm doing this because I care about you and I want to get you through the process. Some attorneys are willing to hold your hand a little bit harder to get you through it, and they might, appease you a little bit and say, okay, well, it's time for us to take a stand. And I always tell people, you are able to choose who you want as an attorney, even if you start off with one and you're like, you know what, I don't like what you're putting out, I'm going to fire you and I'm going to find someone else. You, as the client, that is your prerogative and that is your ability. So just kind of keep that in mind because you're never kind of stuck with one person. You have the ability to move if you need to. And I think people should feel comfortable with that ability to make those changes, right? I can find as many attorneys as I need to talk to before I even hire one. Once I hire somebody, I want them to be able to communicate with me, help me kind of talk about the process, because a lot of times people get really upset when they are not being told what the next step is, right? Like, especially if you're paying all this money to an attorney and you don't know what you're about to do, or you're spending money and you don't know where your money is going to, that's when people get frustrated. And so having a level of transparency, I think, is really important. And if you can find an attorney that has kind of a lot of those characteristics, I encourage you and say, okay, we'll jump on that person. Well, not really, but you know what I mean? Like, make sure that person is available to be able to help you and help you get through that case.
You're right, because I know for me, customer service is important, and don't keep me hanging. Don't keep me waiting and not knowing what the status is. I mean, I like that constant communication. It's just important. I don't care if it's I'd rather pay $5 for every email you send and let that email tell me, here's the status, here's where we are, and here's what we got to do next, than to not know. You know, it's just crazy.
It's true.
What's an example of a client who avoided a major setback by choosing things differently?
Well, I got too many stories of that, but I'm like
That's what I
keeping
want
with
to
what I want.
hear. We
I
know
know, I
that.
gotta tell you which one I want to tell you. So, okay, avoided a major. Okay, so there was a client who, picked one attorney, and they thought that that attorney was going to advocate for them. And a lot of times, attorneys have the best intentions, right? Like they know, and I'm not knocking other attorneys, and by no means, I'm not. They have the right intentions, and sometimes, like, they are just not able to meet the mark because they are, they have too many cases, or, I mean, attorneys go through life too, and I think sometimes clients forget about that. We are human as well, but by choosing one attorney might have one strategy. So this attorney had a different strategy than I did, and so this attorney was fighting in litigation, and the person spent thousands of dollars to be able to get through something, and I took the case and I did something completely different and was able to get that person divorced in a short period of time. Now I recognize that, my social work background, I have a different kind of way of doing things than most attorneys. And I think it shows with how I communicate or how I even negotiate with other people. But I think doing that by doing it differently and not having the conversations with multiple attorneys and just picking the first person that they met with, I think that was creating a huge setback for them. But if they had had the time to try to meet with other attorneys that they feel like match with their kind of value system and their moral compass, so to speak, then I think they would have been able to save thousands of dollars instead of, having to pay that and then paying me and then, having to spend more. And so then that took away from the marital estate because you have to pay legal fees, and that's pretty much what it was. So.
Wow. Well, we'll be right back. In our final segment, we'll look at how to know when it's worth fighting and when settling brings more peace. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand, whenever and wherever you want. Grab your free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Okay, maybe you prefer podcasts. We got you covered. Listen to Ignite anytime on Now Media TV website, www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more. Now Media TV is available 24 by 7, so the stories you care about are always within your reach. Now, for our final segment, we're focusing on a critical decision in divorce and custody cases. Knowing when to fight and when to settle. Sometimes the drive to win costs more than the victory itself. With wisdom and strategy, families can choose battles that matter, step away when peace is the better outcome. So, DNA, let me ask you a question. How can someone know when it's worth fighting versus when it's better to settle?
That is a question that is so different for different people, right? Family structures look a little different, especially when you're going through a divorce. But a lot of times I tell people that if the legal fees are going to cost more than the value of what you're fighting over, it's time for us to have a serious conversation. Some people have different drives and motivations when they are going through a divorce or a custody battle. So if people are getting what they're looking for, great, let's talk about settling. If people are not getting what they're looking for and they're seeing that their marital estate is dissipating, meaning that all of the money that they're even fighting about or all of the assets are slowly going out the door, it's time for us to have a conversation about settling. A lot of people are also willing to say, well, I don't want to settle. I will fight until it's tooth and nail, and then we know what their true motivation is. But having the conversations with your attorneys about kind of what your important goals are, I kind of say, like, what's your bottom line? If you're close to your bottom line and you're seeing that it's going a little further than you need to, then it's time for us to have a conversation about mediation and settling. If we see that the emotional side is coming out more so than the pragmatic side as an attorney, it's time for us to talk about settling and having a conversation about what this looks like. If you see that it's damaging your mental health or it's hurting your children, because even though people are not supposed to be talking to their kids about going through divorce and custody disputes, you and I both know, Vicky, that people still do it anyways, right? So if people are in those types of situations and you're seeing that the impact it's having on your children is hurting you, it's time for us to talk about settling. So, like I said, it's a very hard question to answer because it's really, truly dependent on the people themselves that are going through that process. But having a high level of communication with your attorney, talking about what your goals are, what your bottom lines are, is really, truly important to figure out if it's time to talk about settling the case or moving forward and fighting through litigation.
Wow. Can you share an example of when settling actually gave someone peace?
Yes, I had a case where there was a woman and a man. They were married for a very long time, had adult children, and she was a stay-at-home wife and mom their entire marriage. And so it was close to retirement age and had no real assets to really claim as her own. I mean, thankfully she's in Texas, so being a community property state, she is entitled to all of her husband's assets because they work during the marriage to be able to have that type of situation, right? With all of those assets that happened. And it was such a long, drawn out fight over these assets. And it got to the point where she could have had a lot more and fight a lot more, but her emotional, it was taking so much of a toll on her emotionally and the mental capacity that she had. It was weaning her thin. And so for her mental health and for her longevity to be here and be able to live a life that was not connected to this person anymore, she was willing to settle, even if that meant that she wasn't going to walk away with the money that she had been fighting for. And at that point, when you're fighting for years, the money is being drained from the marital estate anyways. So it just got to the point of, okay, well, I'm having a hard time emotionally, mentally, this is taking a toll on my mental health. And I'm fighting over assets that might not even be here because I'm paying all this money in legal fees. Because it's not just her having to pay her attorney, it was her husband having to pay his attorney because both parties have to get paid in some regard. And a lot of times it comes from the marital estate. So it got to that place. And sometimes people will just reach their wits' end and decide, you know what, I'm better off settling and I'm okay with that. I can live with that. And that's when, I said earlier, you're never going to be happy because you're not going to have access to the funds that you're used to having. And if you want to have access to the funds that you're used to having, then you just don't get divorced. And that's kind of the realness of it, right? I hate to say it, but your lifestyle is not going to be the same that it was when you are married. And in different states, there's options to be able to help you to kind of have a certain type of lifestyle after you're married. In Texas, alimony is not really a thing, and unless it's kind of temporary during the pendency of a divorce. But in Massachusetts, I mean, you can seek alimony to be able to live the same lifestyle. Now you could be fighting for it, but again, that's where we talk about your bottom line and what you're willing to live with.
Wow. How can leaders apply negotiation skills and family law to business and life?
I'm laughing because I feel like a lot of business owners and people try to apply the same principles that they learn in the outside world to family law, but it's a completely different beast. So I have to tell people a lot of times, like, listen, these negotiation strategies for you as a business owner might have worked to help you with your business, but we're dealing with the emotional side and your children and a spouse that you could be, you're divorcing that is having an emotional response. It's not a pragmatic one when you're doing business. So I always try to tell people the best thing that you can do is communicate with your attorney. You have to tell us everything that's going on because if you leave something out, it can hurt you in the long run because then we can't do what we can to protect you. And I've been in a lot of situations like that, unfortunately. So you have to be open, you have to be honest, you have to communicate with your attorney. Those are three things that can translate easily to family law cases, But if you are not doing those things and you think like, okay, well, I ran my business like this as a leader, I can do this, it's not going to be the same. And I think a lot of people have a very negative response when they have to hear that. But again, we're not dealing with easy issues. We're dealing with families and we're dealing with emotions and we're dealing with a lot of pride and a lot of it's a change. It's a drastic change. So it's hard for me to say exactly what you can translate besides be open, be honest, and you need to communicate.
Wow. And I remember an attorney telling me once that, you know what divorce is really all about? I said, what? He said, how big of a check are you willing to write? I had to sit and think about that. Especially, if you're in a situation where you're the breadwinner and yes, everybody's gonna, it's a community state. And it's like, okay, how much big of a check are you willing to write to them because they're not in the same position, but everything's all as one. And so it's just, you're right. It's very, it is very important to be able to distinguish those things as you move forward. DNA, this conversation has been incredibly valuable. Where can people follow your work and continue the conversation?
Well, they can visit my website at higheastonlaw.com. They can call my office at 281-895-1721. They can find me on social media. I High Easton Law, you can easily find me. And if you want to type in my name on Google, you can find me there too.
With that beautiful name. And I
Oh,
just
thank
want to
you.
say, what separates you as an attorney is you said it. Your social work allows you the ability to relate to people as to who they are and the challenges that they're truly feeling and facing. DNA, thank you so much for bringing your expertise and heart to this important conversation.
Thank
Today,
you.
we've learned that divorce and custody don't just affect legal outcomes, they affect identity, people, family stability, and emotional well-being. With the right guidance, people can navigate these challenges without losing themselves, protect their children, avoid costly mistakes, and choose peace when matters most. For our viewers, remember this. Leadership isn't just about how you run your business. It's also about how you lead your life through challenges. Thank you for watching Ignite. I'm your host, Vicki Hamilton. Until next time, keep igniting your potential and leading with strength.